Welcome to Heart with Keisha B., the podcast that focuses on the journey of grief, healing, and overcoming unforeseen circumstances. Whether you're dealing with loss or life challenges, this is a podcast that you don't want to miss. I am your host, Keisha B. So take a deep breath, open your mind and your soul, and sit back as we embark on this journey together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another week of Heart to Heart with Keisha B. As you all know, I often bring forth to you guests that are just not inspiring, but also impactful, from young to old, from male to female. And so today we have a special guest on our podcast that is part of the young age group, right? But I'm bringing him on because I know that not only is he an impact and an inspiration to our young people, but he also will share his story that will also be an impact to those who are a little bit older than he and those that may be a little bit older than myself. And so today we have Mr. Terran Rush. Terran is a young man who resides here in the Charleston, West Virginia area. He's been in different areas throughout the United States, from California to Michigan. And he's going to sort of talk about that today in this show. But here in this area in West Virginia, specifically the Charleston area, Terran is known by so many people because his face is seen in the community. I'd like to bring forth to you Terran Rush. Terran, how are you today?
I'm doing amazing. I can't be doing no better, man. God blessed me with another 24. So I've been up and at it early this morning. So I'm blessed. It's an honor to get another day.
Yeah, Terran, I'm not sure if you heard me as I was doing your introduction. I've shared with our audience that you are a young man who not only touch young folks' life, but you also touch those who are older than you. And when I see individuals like that, I want to give you your flowers, because what I call people like you are humanitarian, right? You're an individual who you don't shy away from a challenge. You don't shy away from pulling those young men or those young women by their coattail saying, get it together, because there's so much life out here that you are missing. But there's so much life out here that I can help guide you to the unforeseen. And that's one of the things that we talk about here on this podcast, is overcoming unforeseen circumstances. And so with that, Terran, I want you to sort of talk about, who is Terran Rush? Why does Terran Rush fit the model of Heart to Heart? Why are you here today, Terran?
Man, it's an honor to be here. And I feel that I feel to fit the description Heart to Heart is because everything I do is with love, and it's from my heart. And that's how I grew up. That's how I was raised. I was raised by two beautiful, amazing parents. I had a great mother. Rest in peace, Africa Scott. I had a great father and still do, Terran Rush. And I also had a great community. I was blessed to be around great men that built structure in me. It was tough love. When I did something that I ain't had no business doing, I got punished. It wasn't no slacking. So all those moments and being in those tough conditions, growing up with tough love, molded me, because it gave me an opportunity to grow even when I made mistakes. So it prepared me for this world that we live in today, honestly.
Yeah. Terran, I heard you as you were speaking, and you said rest in peace to your mother. And as I know, losing a parent is very tough, right? Being able to figure out, how do I continue to live my life without not just the community people that have been here for you, but those that brought you into this life. Talk to us about, how was it for Terran to continue to be who he is and continue to grow into who you are today, knowing that you no longer had your mother in your life on the physical side?
When it first happened, I was about 14 years old. And when it first happened, I was lost. I didn't know what I would do without her, just because she was always there nurturing me, made sure I didn't go without food, water, just the daily needs. And you don't know how important that is as a kid until you get older. Just someone just being there, just even if you scrape your knee, like, I knew that it was okay to cry. That's what moms do. And when that was taken away from me, not, it wasn't took away from me, God had a plan. But when she passed, I didn't have that no more, you know, and everything was tough. gritty, mm-hmm. grimy after that. And I think we all know this term survival mode, you know, and that turned on. And, you know, I didn't know I was in survival mode. I just knew that I had to fend for myself now. I had to be a man. I had to figure it out. You know, everything was just grind, 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 grind. No rest for real. And at the time, I was putting so much work in because I was grieving. And instead of just grieving like a normal person would grieve, I was grieving with work. I would work myself so hard to get my mind off thinking of my mom, or grinding so hard for success to make up the loss of my mom not being no more, to be able to provide for my sister and her kids and things of that nature. And that pushed you in a survival mode from age 14 to even getting a scholarship. So a lot of those times really, like, I don't remember a lot of them because it was just grind mode. It was just survival mode. And a lot of the memories wasn't fun because I was coming from behind and coming from a dark place. So I do remember a little bit of memories growing up from being a kid, but from that 14 to like 18, 17, it's just grind mode, survival mode. It was a dark place.
Yeah. And thank you for being so transparent, right? Because you were at a very pivotal point of your life as a teenager where you were just trying to figure out the hormonal side, right? Of just growing into a teenager, then boom, here comes this tragedy that now it's twofold. And what I hear you say is that grieving like a normal person, but you brought up something that oftentimes doesn't quite get spoken about when we talk about grief. And that is working ourselves sometimes to try to forget about, right? Working ourselves to where our memory becomes foggy, because that's what grief does, right? But then I heard you say something. As a young man at 14, you said, I now have to turn into a man. I now have to turn into a person that now takes on the role of caring for my sister and her kids. So kudos to you, right? But then here's my question to you. Is there any point through that that you felt like that you missed out on your childhood?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what, that's a sad case. As far as having a childhood growing up as like elementary preschool, that was great. Like, I had fun times, but being a teenager, I didn't really have a chance to be a teenager in a sense of I was working so hard to be successful. I didn't have fun, and I didn't get to really enjoy my teenage years having fun if it wasn't like playing basketball, AAU trips. Cause I knew that like not having a mom already put me back 10, 15 years. So my mindset wasn't like, okay, let's go to the movies every weekend. Let's go to this concert. My mom was like, I'm in the weight room. I got to make sure I'm getting my sleep right to be successful in this football field, which is okay. But I think I was doing it at a rate that was unhealthy, in a sense of not being able to enjoy my childhood, scared and frightened enough that I wouldn't be successful to change my life perspective.
So let's talk about Taran, the teenager who was working hard to be successful, but yet wasn't quite able to enjoy his teenage years. How did your friend group look like during that time? Because as y'all may have chronologically been the same age, what I hear you saying, Taran, is that mentally you were somewhere else because of circumstances and situations. How did that impact or affect your interaction with your peers?
I think that's what bonded us. And I don't really know too much about this term, but trauma bonding, I think I heard that term, I'm familiar with it, but I don't know really the definition. But I believe is that when you have similar experiences, especially negative experiences, you tend to gravitate towards people that have those same experiences. So a lot of my friends, my brothers, like we was brothers, not even friends. We went through the same things. We grew up in the same neighborhood and went against the same odds. So it's like, we gravitated and loved each other because of that. And that's what built our friendship. So when one of our friends was struggling with something, I was feeling his pain, vice versa. Like that's what made us. And we had our fun. It was amazing. Like that was the experiences that I didn't speak about earlier, but I definitely enjoyed my teenage years. Like my friends was everything to me. My brothers was everything to me. Them was the guys that pulled me out of my slump. Them was the guys that got me to start enjoying life again. So Let's make that clear. I had amazing friends. Like, them are the guys that kept me above water. So when I talk about people understanding your trauma, like when I lost my mom, my friends have already been through so much negative stuff where they were strong enough to be at the age 14, 15, 16, strong enough to be a backbone for me, which sound crazy. At 15, 16, you're supposed to be being a teenager, but they was being emotional, mental support for their best friend and a teenager. And we were strong enough because of our past experiences. So it was really a blessing to have my friends because they kept me above water. Also my community and great mentor. So it was definitely a blessing. But like I said, a lot of the times we all was on survival mode, trying to change our life situation, getting to college and trying to, you know, change our future. But we definitely enjoyed a lot of the high school memories and middle school, definitely.
So I hear you talk about not just your friends who I hear you openly say are your family, but you talk about mentors. So let's talk about what impact the mentors have on your life and if there's still that connection even into your adult life today.
Yes. And the mentors, they know who they are, the ones that, you know, that was there. Shout out. Oh, that's a long list. It was too long to list on here, but I appreciate y'all. But I think it's so important that they are around now more than ever. Just because the first thing that come in our mouth when we turn 18 is, I can't wait to move out of this house. And a lot of us don't know is life is literally have not started yet at all. Like, we think we grown, we think we know it all, but like, that's when the mentorship come back into effect. Like, it really matters. Like, I'm 26 years old, and the mentors that was helping me when I was 14 is helping me even more to navigate through life. I don't know too much about life. I'm learning something new every day. And my mentors are still there, and they're a big reason why I'm still be able to take upward steps, you know, because they stuck around those many years, but I need them more than ever because I'm a grown man now. I'm new to being grown. I'm new to all this. So they've been helping me so much in my adult years, more than ever.
Right. So I want to think it's fair to say, and as you said, there's a laundry list of mentors that you have in your life and have had in your life. But I know that coaches, right, play a key role in being a mentor in the development, physically, athletically, in one's life. Let's talk about what football and what the mentors were able to put into your life. Again, as we go back to this young man who was hurt and probably took a lot of his anger out on the football field because that's how he was able to exert what he was going through.
Yeah, man, football. If I would say what saved my life, Jesus Christ is first, football is second. And what football mean to me, and a lot of people will get this and some won't. And I'm so passionate about the game of football because, like you said, it was an outlet. It was a time where I could be happy. It was a time where I felt free of anxiety, free of thinking about what my future looked like or thinking about my mom or whatever. When I was playing football with my brothers, I was able to express myself in a manner where I felt free and loved and cared about. Because even if I wasn't successful, if I see my brother scoring a touchdown or my teammate scoring a touchdown, it brought joy to me. When I seen how successful our football team was, and when it brought our community together, that brought joy to me. Then was that football is literally, other than Jesus Christ, a huge foundation in my life because it brought so much great people around me. It gave me opportunities to see the world. Like, if I didn't play football, I wouldn't be traveling through all these states. Football gave me an opportunity to play in New York, California, Michigan, Maryland. I didn't play it in almost over 50% of the world from the game of football. So just off the mentorship side of it, though, the Cunningham family have always been great to me and been a great mentorship to my life, middle school level. Scott Swain, Tim Walton has been amazing to my life. Those guys are still in my life. We still talk to this day. When you get to the high school level, Mike Barron, John Carpenter, them guys gave me an opportunity to pursue a collegiate level and gave me the resources I need to be successful at the next level as well. So we still have a relationship. I coach with John Carpenter down at Capital High School. That's what mentorship is. Pull me up, and then when I get successful, I come back to pull someone else up. That's what they always taught me from Little League all the way to high school.
Yeah. So you talk a lot about the role models that coaches play. And I've heard you very clearly through this interview alone, you reference your higher power. So I want to believe that outside of just the athletic side, that there has been a strong force and mentorship in your life and guidance in your life from the spiritual side as well. And I, again, I know how strong you are within your faith. And I want to ask you at this time, outside of just your own personal closeness with your faith, has there been anyone in your life on the spiritual side that has helped guide you to where you are today?
Absolutely. A lot of people know Jeff Biddle in the Charleston area. I met Jeff when I was 12 years old at youth Bible study at Emmanuel Baptist Church at the Babadat Center. And I gained a relationship with him. He started inviting me to Bible study on Wednesdays. And then summer camp came around and he invited me to Camp Cowan. I went to Camp Cowan at the age 12 and I got saved. I gave my life to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it was the best decision I ever made. That day, I didn't know that decision would prepare me for the storms of life that I would face and continue to face. And at that moment, when I remember this moment clearly, when I gave my life over to Jesus Christ, I felt more free than ever. Even at 12, I was seeing and experiencing things that a 12-year-old shouldn't have seen. And I was able to express those things. And when I be able to talk to God and pray, God knew what I was going through, knowing my circumstances. But the whole time, I believe Jesus Christ and God let me meet Jeff Biddle to be able to prepare my life for the storms. And now that we built a relationship, I was able to come back and serve this community just because I met a guy like Jeff Biddle. Because everyone always used to say when I was younger, you get out of here, don't come back. It's nothing here. But if I never made a decision at 12 to give my life to Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have the visions that God gave me coming out of college saying you need to come back home to serve this community. That you have to have a relationship. God will speak to you. So that is the biggest mentorship role that someone ever did to my life is letting me meet Jesus Christ. And that's shout out to Jeff Biddle. So,
yeah. So Taran, when you talk a lot about having the opportunity to go to different states to play football, I want to assume that that wasn't just because of your high school opportunities, but did you also go on to further your football career outside of just high school?
I mentioned I'm so passionate about football because what it was able to do for my life. It gave me opportunities to explore the world. Living in Lancaster, California, I was able to explore LA and see the rich side of California and downtown LA and go to different neighborhoods and see the culture of Los Angeles. Living in Michigan, I was able to be downtown Detroit. University of Michigan was 5 minutes away from my apartment. And just being able to explore these different campuses while we fly planes to different states. And it was amazing. Like, that's what football did for my life. But the biggest thing I will take away from football is the long-lasting relationship I was able to build with my college teammates. I have so much love for my college teammates. We talk every day. We pray for each other. We check on each other's families. I know their mom. They know my fathers. I know they wives and their kids. Like, that's the love you get from football. Because when you put 70 to 80 men in one area to obtain the same goal, magic happens. Just because how dominant we think we are, how masculine you think you are, but you really get vulnerable. You really break down and be able to break barriers when you are around men that's stronger than you, when you are around men that's weaker than you, that you got to teach. You learn so much about yourself. And that's football is the number one sport that's the closest thing to life. Because you're dealing with so much personalities, you're dealing with so much traumas and upbringings, 80 people with different attitudes and dialects and cultures. It's amazing what one football can do with 80 people and a coaching staff. So football definitely been a blessing.
So it sounded like it was able to add an additional layer of support for you, additional layer of family for you, but also additional layer of growth as well.
It has so much growth on my life, because when I came to Eastern when I was 18 and 19 years old, I was still a little boy as far as a mindset. Like I said, I was still navigating and trying to figure out how to become a man. When you put yourself around coaches that have already lived those life experiences and teammates that come from different parts of the world and have different experiences, you learn so much. And I was able to let down my guard and learn and be a sponge and learn from all my teammates, my coaches, professors, my tutors. And it was just, it was so much love and support when you can just break, let your barrier down and let people just give you their resources and love and knowledge. And you just learn so much.
Being that I know that most athletes, right, aspire to go beyond college, was there a time in your football career that you had aspirations to move beyond college football and continue to further your athletic opportunities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the main goal. That was my main goal. That's the goal I thought that was the main goal. You know, if that make any sense. Yeah, so I worked so hard to get millions. That was the thing. Like, if football, if you get make it to the college, you get to the league, you can buy your mom a house, buy your mom a car. That's the black dream, what we sell our black athletes in our community. So that's why I worked so hard. So that was the main goal. Making it to the NFL at in the professional level was always the A1 goal. But I always was intelligent to know enough to know that the percentages of me making it to the National Football League was slim to none. And I chased it all the way to the last end where I couldn't chase it no more. But I do have advice for the young guys that's out there pursuing an athletic career. Yes, you can make that priority. You can make that your number one thing. But pick up an instrument, young man. Learn how to use clippers or use somewhere you can use your hands to trade, because football cannot be your only identity, because eventually you have to hang your cleats up. This advice can fit a young lady or a young gentleman. We lose so many young men and young ladies when their sport is over, because now who are you? You have to find and be prepared to impact this world. Football cannot be the only thing you do and the only image you have. Who are you willing to help? Who are you willing to serve? Are you helping your community? Are you reaching back, trying to get someone to that next level? It's so much stories where you see a guy that was so glorious when it came to scoring touchdowns on the news for breaking records. And then as soon as his career over, straight to jail, or do something out of his character or out of her character, because when that limelight of what sports can do for your life ends, they lose their soul, because they're not getting the attention. They're not getting the praise and the glory and playing in front of hundreds and thousands of people. How can you turn that same passion that you have for your athletics into serving someone, into helping others, or to bettering your family? That's what I want y'all to take away from anything today y'all heard about sports. Have a plan to be ready to have an image when your sport is over, because you really will lose yourself trying to chase this thing that eventually has to end for everyone.
And, you know, Taran, I think what you're saying is definitely very impactful. It's not just men, but it's also female athletes as well, right? Because for so many different reasons, people are playing these for the sake of, you know, because they're good, the sake of it being an outlet, because they may be going through so many things in their life. But here's my question to you. Tell me, how did it affect you when you did not make it to the league?
Man, it really didn't. Well, let me make sure y'all hear this. See, it could have been two different Terrans. It could have been a Terran that didn't have Jesus Christ as his root, and it could have been a Terran where I was trying to chase things for my life. Luckily, I was the Terran that had Jesus Christ at my root, because when he did communicate to me that it was over, it was an easy decision. And I was in the midst of coming home. I trained here to get to the next level. I came home to train because I wanted the kids to see my work ethic, to understand the commitment level, the work ethic it took to even reach the collegiate level. I wanted to come home so the kids can physically see me train to reach the professional level. But as I was home, we was in the process of processing our nonprofit, the Median Leadership Project. And I got a couple calls from the Canadian Football League, and I was on my way to leave. A couple days, I was making the arrangements, figuring out the flights and whatever. It was one day I walked into our nonprofit and I seen all the kids in the gym. And it was like God was right on my shoulder saying, Terrain, you can't leave this. I brought you home for a reason, right? And I remember as a kid, it was thousands of dollars on the line, on a contract that could have impacted my life tremendously at that time, or stay here to serve this community so these kids can have a resource to be successful. And the decision was easy because God never told me to wait. God never told me, I'm going to put you second today. I'm going to forget about you. I'm not going to love you today. God never did that to me. So when he asked me to do something and I can hear him telling me to do something, I do it. And that was probably one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make as a man, but one of the easiest decisions I ever had to make as a follower of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. So it was hard, you know, giving it up after I put so much time and commitment, thousands of hours to a craft. Like I said, if it's your identity, mm-hmm. it'll crash and burn. If it's not, it'll do what it need to do for your life. And then when it's gone, it's just gone. And you can continue to be blessed and blissful from the fruitful seeds that it did plant. So just don't get attached to it when it's over. And don't go crazy, but if you don't, be successful at the professional level, because your life can be better if you just let God guide you.
So it sounds like to me, Terrain, when you talk about your nonprofit and you talk about when you had the opportunity as Terrain to sign on the line to go to Canada, God said, not today. Will you do that? So what it sounds to me is that at that moment, right, you were a godsend to the children who needed that additional layer of support.
Amen. And that's literally the answer. Like you said it exactly how it should have been said. And it was hard. I would be lying if I sit up here and say I didn't think about going against God's will. Like, I would be lying if I didn't think about, okay, I'm going to do it. Maybe I go try for 2 to 3 years, then come back. But God wasn't going for it. You know, he was loud with it. He said, this is what I want, and I need you to do it now. And it's really paying off. I'm so happy that I decided to stay here and serve this community. Because these kids is so amazing. They're so brilliant. They help my life more than they know, you know? So just to see a lot of these kids just grow from where I met them, how mature they have, their grades is going up, they're becoming leaders. And it's just not me. Let's get this, let's set the record straight. It's when you talk about it takes a village, it's so much impactful leaders in our community that's being the trailblazers. You're one of them that impacted my life. From a kid, you being my friend's mom, you being a mother figure to me. So it's like, these are the people that's in this community that God said, like, I want you to be here, you know? So these are the people that impacted me. And I knew God wanted me to come back and do the same thing that people helped me to make my life successful and get a degree. And I just want to help. That's all I want. I don't want no glory from it. I don't want no shine. I just want to just know that these kids have, I can be a resource. That's all I want to be. And if I'm a little piece of their story, I'm grateful. That's what it was. I had a thousand and thousands of small pieces that gave something to me that made me successful. And I just want to be a piece of someone's story.
Yeah. You know, as you talk about the village, you know, I Obviously, I'm a little bit older than you, obviously, right? But I was raised during a time that where the village really was important, right? Not only was they important, but they were impactful in that it was okay for your next door neighbor to say something to you. Hearing a young man who said he's 26 years old use the word village, it goes to show that the village is still necessary in the rearing of our young people, right? The village's impact, the village's words are still impactful because we cannot forget that we all need somebody, right? We cannot forget that somebody can either make you or somebody can break you based upon what you choose to bring into your life, right? And so what I hear from Taran is that Taran, not only are you a former athlete, but you now are a mentor. You now are a coach. You're now using the words that God lay upon your heart to now invest in somebody else's kid's life as well. And so with that, Taran, I want to give you your flowers at such a young age because you are in this village. You're making a change within a society that sometimes overlook young people like you.
Man, I really appreciate that. And it's really an honor being able to receive those words from a lady that literally poured her heart and soul into this community. So it really is so tremendous to hear. I just want to come back and touch on what a village really mean and how important a village really is. So when you're talking about a village, you're talking about a lady like Miss Keisha that made sure that we was going to uphold our manners and make sure we was going to respect the community and respect our elders. When we was around her, certain stuff ain't fly. We ain't like it at the time, but she knew that she was going to teach us this because we needed it to be successful in this world. You know, so these conversations and small run-ins you have with these people, really learn something from it because that can be a part of your village and you don't even know that one conversation or that one run-in could change your life. So don't be humble and let people teach you. That's what a village look like. You can learn something from anyone. So let the village love you and let the village teach you things when you need to learn. So,
you know, Taran, it's so funny that you say that because I can remember when y'all were growing up, right? I can remember when y'all would just be kids, right? And I will always say, I am not going to change who I am as an adult for a kid, right? Because I knew that I wasn't always the easiest. I knew that I may be saying things that y'all didn't want to hear. But my thought was, how can I help assist you in being productive as a grown man? So it wasn't about you just being a kid. It was putting things in your life that will be impactful and necessary when you're out here in the world that yet is so cruel to many of us on a day-to-day basis, right? And so thank you for letting me pour into your life, even when there was moments that you're probably thinking, this woman is absolutely crazy. And I'm going to say it, who the hell does she think she's talking to, right? I'm sure there's many a days that you probably thought that.
Yeah, we all did. We were scared of you, but we love you. But that's how important and impactful relationships is.
Yeah.
I met you when I was a teenager and I'm 26 and we're sitting on the screen talking about life. That's a 360, an amazing moment. A village. That's what village does.
So Taran, as we are getting closer to the end of the segment, let's talk about Taran, who's also lost some other prominent people in his life that's in his age group that was part of that development of that young man who was growing into who you are today.
Man, yes. And this is never an easy topic when you're talking about losing a friend. And losing friends at a young age has definitely altered the way I think about life, the way I respect life. Just because how you can love someone so dearly and they can be gone in that fast of an instance, just changed me. Especially someone that you spent so much time with, that you learn how to be a man with, that you've seen grow, have kids, and just to be gone like that. To this day, I can't live normal just knowing that my friends is not here no more, just because they was closer to me than 95% of my blood family. I'm talking about I've spent years and years and years invested with my friends more than I have with my family. And this is true family, like highs, lows, broke, poor. If I needed something, I was able to come to their house and make sure I didn't go without. This is real. You talking my family, not by blood, but by real relationships and real scenarios. And just for it to be gone and not, and me and us not being able to have that relationship no more messes with me more than anything. And I don't know if I ever be okay, but I know it's going to be okay. You know, if that makes sense, because
it does.
Because for one, my friend John, my brother John, was blessed as well with an amazing son. Shout out Junior. Amazing gift. And that's the only thing that made me okay, knowing that he left this world with an amazing gift that's gonna, that little man is gonna change this world in so much ways. Like, I hope y'all ready for it. And that's what when I wake up in the day knowing that I can't see John again, but I know that his son is smiling and happy and safe, it brings so much peace and comfort to my soul, knowing that he has a great grandmother that loves, like, I'm okay. That's what makes me okay, you know, and I believe that God did that for a reason. Lil JB is the world to all of us, and like that's what John is to me. So I'm okay knowing that my friend not here no more, because he left us a beautiful gift. But I'm hurt every day. But also those experiences that we had also teaches me to this day, seeing how excited he was to be a father, seeing how much he changed his life and how much work he put in when he figured out he was a father, I would never do nothing less than what he did. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way in my life, I promise, I would never not be a father, because I seen John be the best father at a young age, still figuring out his life, but he made it happen when it needed to happen. Nice. And that's a tradition that I'm going to respect as a friend. That's what our relationship meant to me. That's what I remember. The father he was in a little bit of time he was, that was his best thing he ever accomplished in his life, was him being a father. And I'm going to uphold that tradition. I'm going to be a great father. I'm going to make sure all our friends be great fathers. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what having real friendships do to you. When people pass and life goes on, traditions don't change. Our relationship never going to change. You know, I'm going to uphold his tradition. We're going to make sure that his little one is okay, even if I got to, you know, risk my life for it. That's our duty, because that's how he was for us. He made sure we didn't go without. If we needed something, John, we can call John. He gonna pull up speeding. He was gonna make sure we didn't go without. But that's what a friendship. That's what real brotherhood is. When a brother falls, the next brother step in line to make sure nothing falls off. And that's what he did for us. And that's what we're gonna continue to do for his family, and for our friendship that lasts forever in my heart. So, yeah.
And so, Taran, I bring that up here at the end of the episode, and thank you for all the great things that you were able to express openly, even though I can tell it's very painful on this interview. But I bring this up at the end because what you said was, even when someone is falling, you still find a way to pick yourself up and pour into someone else's life. So even though chips may have fallen along the way throughout your trajectory where you are today, you never allowed it to push you down to a point to where you wasn't able to get back up and pour into someone else. And so if there's nothing else that our audience hear from this, if there's nothing else that our young people get from this, is seeing you as the mentor that you are, that you have faced a lot of things, but it never caused you to lie down. It never caused you to turn your back on someone else when they're feeling like that they're ready to give up as well. And so thank you again.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what it's like having heart to heart. Your title, your title is so impactful. When you got heart to heart, even in the midst of chaos, you know that you can't give up, because your heart is dependent on loving someone else. Yet someone else needs your love. So you got to keep going. So that's that heart to heart. I love it. It gives me so much energy.
Thank you. So here's my last two questions for you, Taran. What are some unique challenges and rewards of working with youth in the community, especially those that are facing their own hardships?
It's a lot of challenges, you know, and some unique, some positive challenges is being able to meet them where they are. Like, I always tell them, I'm coming from a non-judgmental background because I promise I didn't probably experience everything that y'all going through. So we already know from the get-go that we coming at a start where I'm not, you're not getting judged. So let's give everything you got. So that's a avenue that I love coming from, just meeting these kids where they are, because these kids is going through so much, especially in today's society with the social media world and everything being instant gratification. You see a lot more depression, a lot more girls not feeling like they love themselves, and young men feel like they got to uphold an image to be important to culture. So, like, I try to just be like, I'm gonna meet you where you are, even if you have made these bad decisions. We still can be different. We still can change. So that's the unique part about it. I run into different personalities, different attitudes, and how people approach life. So as a leader, I have to come down to their level and be like, okay, she might can take yelling, but the other girl might need a one-on-one conversation because her home life is already chaotic and she can't deal with screaming. As a leader, I have to understand that. I can probably scream at one of my players because he loves being in crazy situations, environments, but the other one might have trauma. You know what I'm saying? Screaming might to him might put him into a flight situation. So being a leader and being a role model, you think about all these scenarios. My head is always spinning because you have to be careful how you approach these kids because they need love. I approach with love no matter where they come from, how much money they got, what shoes they wear, is always love. Some hardships about dealing with the youth, especially with coaching, is, and it's not a, this is not an everybody thing. It's not just a West Virginia thing. I think this is a world thing, a nation thing. But the negativity that comes with parents sometimes, it kind of really breaks my heart. How negative some of these parents can be when some of these men and women that is in leader roles is only here to help, you know? So it makes it hard. It'd be times where I'd be like, I can actually just get up and just move and don't have to deal with no one bashing my name or feeling that I'm trying to do their kid wrong, whatever the case may be. Cause I'm really only here to help. And I just wish that some of these parents would just know that we all in it for the same goal. I don't get paid as much money as I should for the stuff I do. So it's never for the money for me. Like, if I was chasing money, I wouldn't be here, you know? Right. So I don't know. I don't want no glory from it. Like I said earlier, I literally want these kids to be successful and just to be able to go see the world and go to college and get a degree, whether it's here, whether it's in another state, another country, just go explore the world. And if you're able and fortunate enough to come back and help, come help. That's all I want to do and get people to know Jesus. That's all I'm here for. Any other thing else, anything negative, I'm not with it. So I just wish the parents could just buy in with the vision that we got. And like I said, we meet half people halfway. I would love to sit down and talk to some of these parents and so they can get to really know who I am as an individual, as a man, instead of as a coach. When stuff go wrong, it's just Coach Turan. Like, I'm a human being. I'm a human being as well. Like, I love y'all kid, like, to death. You know what I'm saying? So that's just another thing that it's not a huge problem, but I just wish it didn't exist if it couldn't. Right. So, but yeah, but I love all the parents. I love this community with all my heart. We're going to keep figuring it out. We're going to keep growing and learning from our past mistakes. That's all we can do. I'm just ready to keep growing and just trying to build and eventually start a family here soon in God's time. So that's just my next steps of life, just trying to build this community and learn, continue to learn and grow as a man.
All right. So that leads me to this question. What does it mean to you to leave a legacy of service and mentorship for the next generation?
That's my only duty. I don't even care if people knew I played football. Like, football is nothing. Like, my duty is to serve people. It's that simple. Like, football was the icing on the cake. You know, that, like, if people could remember, when I passed, all I want people to remember is that God loved me. He made sure he found the way. And that's all I care. If my gravestone said that, I'm fine. Like, I don't care about no accolades. I don't care about how much division one I played. Like, that stuff doesn't matter, like I said. Mm-hmm. If I go move to Italy right now, people not going to judge me on if I played at Eastern Michigan. They going to judge me about who the person I am. Like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I don't like football to me is nothing no more. Like, I coach because I want to help other players get better. Mm-hmm. But I want people to know me as a person that served people. That's all I want to die. That's all I want to be remembered as. Is someone that served people and loved people correctly.
So, Taran, what I do know about you is, one, it's very evident through this interview that you are a well-spoken young man. And so I cannot let this episode end without you being able to tell people, outside of just finding you on the football field on Friday nights, without just coming to the Midian Leadership program to find you there, where can people find you on social media? Because what I've noticed is that you too have now started a podcast.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all could please subscribe to my YouTube channel at 99 Reasons Podcast. That's 99 as the number, 99 Reasons, R-E-A-S-O-N-Z, 99 Reasons. And you can also follow my Instagram page at 304_King, K-I-N-G, 304_King. If y'all can please just subscribe and give me a follow. I'm just trying to get my message out of there so people can, you know, hopefully I can inspire someone or motivate someone to change their lifestyle or change their habits into some great habits to help this world become a better world. So that's all I'm looking forward to do.
You have given everybody, including myself, Miss Keisha, 99 reasons to continue to grow. As you have talked about, from loss to leadership, a former athlete's mission to inspire the next generation. So I want to thank you for taking time out of your day today to inspire, uplift, and inspire. Thank you for tuning in to Heart with Keisha B. Remember, grief may shape our journey, but it doesn't define who we are. Healing is not a straight path, but with every step forward, you're creating space for hope, strength, and new beginnings. If today's episode brought you comfort or clarity, share it with someone who might need it too. Let's continue building this community of compassion and resilience together. Until next time, take care of your heart, your mind, and your soul. Honor your journey and always know that brighter days are ahead. I am Keisha B, and this has been Heart to Heart.